This is Jonathan Plout. We're back to you with Radio Entrepreneurs. Visit us online at www.radioentrepreneurs.com. Today we have Nathan Dion of Northout.
That's me.
Nathan, thanks so much for coming in.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Tell us about Northout.
So Northout started about 2 years ago. We were born out of a friend and I seeing some problems with the earliest stage companies, particularly in Boston, being able to get an MVP, so the minimum viable product, out to market, and to really like start, if you're a young, new entrepreneur, be able to start that journey. So what we said was, let's go out there and let's build product for as little cash as we can take, and we'll do it mostly in equity. So that's where the company started.
And what does Northout do?
So we build mobile and web apps for really early stage companies, and we also power, this is more of a recent pivot of ours, we power innovation labs for large brands. So if you're a Fortune 500 and you're trying to figure out, hey, how do we build things in augmented reality? What should we be worried about in virtual reality? What's happening in AI? You come and work in our office and we help you iterate on new ideas in those themes.
So a typical client of yours could range from a startup company to a much larger established brand.
Yeah, so it's pretty much 50-50. We found that startups have a lot to learn from large companies who know how to get to market, who know how to stay stable and know how to like look at the data. And the large companies benefit from our startups that work in our office because they're just going for it, right? It's just ship product. So it's a really great synergy between those two types of clients. And we're better for having those two, I guess, poles working with each other.
Interesting. So give me an example of some of the industries that your clients come from.
So a big one, which makes sense if you're thinking about how to be innovative, is insurance. So two of our largest clients that pay most of the bills are big insurance companies in and around the Boston area. We're also spending a lot more time in the healthcare space. That's an area that always needs innovation, and they tend to have really big budgets, and they're very, very active in trying to figure out what's next.
It's interesting because this doesn't sound like the small mobile and web app type of business.
Yeah, so you'd be surprised. I think a lot of these large companies want to act more like our original client base, which is a two-person startup trying to get an app built. If you're a healthcare company, you spend $14 million trying to build a new iPad app, where we have a startup that got more done for $50K. It's just a different way of thinking, and which is why we try to combine them in our office so they can both learn from each other.
Tell us about the ideal client that you would like to develop business with.
So again, it's sort of on those two poles. If you're in the earliest stages of your business, you have a basic idea and you want to try to get off the ground, we want to talk to you. Conversely, if you're one of the larger, say you're a Fortune 1000, a big insurance company, usually it's over 500 employees, and you're saying, hey, like we need to be able to build things faster in a really new market that we don't understand. We want to hear from you as well.
Nathan Dion, how many people work with you at Northout?
So we've grown to, I think we're going to break 50 at the end of the week.
Wow. And your role in the company?
So I'm the co-founder. I'm in charge of everything prior to the product getting built. So marketing, sales. I used to be an engineer, but they keep me away from that now, so things don't break. So it's about probably 30% of the company works on my side. And then Manesh, my co-founder, runs the rest of the delivery business.
So your background is in engineering?
Well, I did not traditionally trained. When I was in college, I have a finance degree in economics, but it was pretty clear. I think it was pretty young. So it was like 2007, 2006. I was like, all right, like I need to learn how to code things. So I just like, I mean, you can learn a lot of stuff online now. I literally just started Googling, like learn to code and just started going for
it. You can learn just by looking.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's just do it. I mean, like how many hours a week do you spend watching like Survivor? Right. I mean, I don't. Right,
and you're trying to reveal something of yourself.
Survivor.
That your show?
I was gonna tell you what show it was.
Haven't you ever heard of Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I was like, I can't. Oh, Mr. Robot. So if you just spend like an hour or two a week just learning some stuff, like you can learn skills pretty fast.
Did you always want to be an entrepreneur, Nathan? I know you grew up in the New England area, right?
Yeah. So my parents have run a restaurant. Well, actually, my grandfather started it. So long history of sort of going out on your own. My parents were smart to keep me out of the restaurant business because that's too much work. I don't want to do that, but sort of, it's always been in my DNA, like the concept of sort of you're responsible for your own fate. If you work hard, you're going to get a good result. Sort of part of the lifeblood of the Dion clan, I suppose.
Right. That sounds like there's some good DNA there.
Yeah.
So where do you see your company going in 5 years? What's the 5-year plan?
So a big thing is we want to help as many companies as we can really discover sort of these new markets. So one of the problems we have is it's some geographical basis, right? So we are probably going to expand to New York by the end of the year or first of next year. And so in 5 years, I see us being in at least 5 cities. And we've been doubling every 3 months. So I don't know how many people we have, but if we keep showing success to our clients, we'll keep growing.
It sounds like you found a business niche that really needed to be filled.
Yeah, I mean, we found it on accident. We were starting, like I said, building mobile and web apps for really early stage companies. You know, Manesh and I were like, hey, if we could find a company with a budget of $500,000 or $1 million, it makes business a little bit easier, right? A little more predictable. So we brought a big insurance company into our office to talk about building some things for them. And they really didn't even want to talk to me. They were much more interested in talking to the startups that were incubated in our office just to see like how are they building things and what their thoughts were.
So you're incubating startups in your office as well as doing their online platforms.
Right. So we have 4 companies working at our office in 4 month stints. We give them an engineering team, and actually some of our enterprises will sit people right next to our startup. So like early stage startup, 2 people, big insurance company, 2 people, another early stage startup, 2 people. And they really, it's amazing to see sort of the differences and the way they think about product and see them really learn from each other. It's really cool to watch.
That is the most synergetic thing I think I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. Well, it gets a little scary. I mean, I think when the, you know, if you're a middle level product person or an architect at a, you know, a big company and you sort of show up in our office, it's a little bit foreign because we're a little crazy. But I think after a week, you're like, all right, there's something to this sort of cavalier, like just ship product mindset that can really make them successful in their own businesses.
Doesn't sound cavalier at all to me. Sounds, I just want to make sure that you get cut in on any of these great business deals that are going to
Don't worry. I get cut on everything.
You must have a good lawyer.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have to young entrepreneurs that might come down the pike after you?
I think this is a very unpopular piece of advice, but it generally is true, is don't start a company. I think you have to be a very particular type of person to be successful as an entrepreneur. And I think there's a thing specifically in tech where everybody's like, let's start one without really thinking, am I gonna be able to get this all the way? Because it's fun for 3 months. And I've seen this with every single startup that's come through. And I tell them every time, it's like, it's fun until you get punched and no one likes the first version of your product. And it takes a very particular person to iterate through that and fight through it.
So what should these people do when they've got great ideas?
I think one is just be really honest with yourselves if you're going to be willing to go for broke. And I've seen this with people who haven't been successful going through our incubator is like there's a good chance that most things will go wrong for a year or two. And the people who win are the people who grind it out. So some of it's just be honest with yourselves. Like, can you do it in the early days? The other piece is just surround yourself with other people who found a way to survive that hard point in year one or year two. And surround yourself with the many people who have gone through the hard stuff because they're the ones who are going to give you the best advice when shit doesn't go right.
And we'll be bleeping that word out,
oh, yeah.
But that's
Oops.
Okay.
My bad.
Well, we have a very mature radio audience here. So how does the division of labor work between you and your partner? Mm-hmm. And if not in specific, just how is that like in your experience to work with a partner in developing a company?
I think the best way to think about our two roles is I'm a little crazy and he brings some certainty to the business.
A little crazy?
A little bit.
Just a little?
Just a little.
Okay.
Which we have to be, I guess, to sell what we do. So we have a really good sort of push and pull about, I'm like, we can build this in 2. He's like, it's probably going to take 3, which works really well. I think we didn't just say, let's start a business together. We worked together on some things for a while. It was sort of a long process. It wasn't just, hey guy, let's start a company. So we had a history of seeing each other's styles, which allowed us to be successful when things got hard.
So were you surprised when you were able to develop a company starting with just 2? And I presume, like most companies,
yeah,
you started around a kitchen table or whatnot. Now you've mm-hmm. got large space and HR directors and things like that.
Yeah.
Was that a difficult transition?
I think it got difficult around 30 people. I think that's when your business gets more mature and it's time to like make sure your accounting's right. And things just change in seriousness when you hit like 25 or 30. Luckily, that's like Manesh's bread and butter. So we navigated it. Well, he did, not we. It was in spite of me, we survived that, which is really important. I think the big thing is just grind. Like in the first 6 months to a year, you have no portfolio, you have no reputation, You just have to sell, sell, sell.
When you started the company, what was your vision for the company and how did that actually change into what the company became?
When we started, we expected to be doing just early stage companies forever. I mean, that was really what our goal was let's just help as many first time founders or very early stage companies get products to market on a budget that they can fit. That was the goal, and it just sort of manifested in itself. Like the story I was telling is like we had some enterprises come in because we were trying to sell them, and they were so interested in learning from the startups. We're like, there's something here to helping them learn from each other, and then we just sort of rolled with it.
That is one of the most synergetic concepts I've ever heard. Who are the business leaders that you admire? Who have you read? What are the books that you read? I really want to know what drove you, or not what drove you, but what gave you the guideposts.
I think there's a book called The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz, which is, I think, absolutely the best business book, because I think there's a million books out there that say, how do you build a big company? Hire the best people. You know, it's very like obvious stuff. And what this book does is it breaks down what happens when everything goes wrong and you have to fire half your team. Like, what happens when you spend a year recruiting the best VP of sales and they don't work out? What do you do? So it really breaks down what happens when things don't go right, which I think is relatively uncommon in your typical business book. So Ben Horowitz is the man. He's awesome. I think Gary Vaynerchuk, VaynerMedia, Wine Library TV, tons of stuff on YouTube. It's just awesome. I try to listen to it in the morning because it like gets me up at least 30 minutes earlier. There's a lot of good resources out there.
So what is the hard thing about the hard thing?
I think for us, it's not trying to grow for the sake of growth. One thing that we've had to do is take a few steps back and say, all right, how do we just deliver better for our current clients versus saying, let's double down and expand and let's double in the next 6 months.
Nathan Dion of NorthOut.com, it was a pleasure to meet with you.
It was awesome.
I very much look forward to hearing about all your successes. You are a wonderful, wonderful person. I wish you the best luck with your business. Come visit us online at www.radioentrepreneurs.com. I'm Jonathan Plout, your host. We were speaking today with Nathan Dion of NorthOut.com. Nathan, thank you so much for coming.
Awesome. In. I appreciate it.